Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Junior Newby and Stephen Vaughn in for John Canzano. We got a bunch of action coming to Moda Center this weekend in the NCAA tournament on the women's side. Got Cameron Brink coming back to her hometown, and Stanford, they got tested over the weekend. Of course, the Beavers back in the Sweet 16 once again with Scott Ruick and company. They're headed out to Albany. They'll take on Notre Dame in their regional semifinal out in Albany. And a lot of the other action. We'll get the lowdown on Beavs Irish, what's in front of them. Caitlin Clark in Iowa continuing to make their run in her final year with the Hawkeyes. And to do it, we're bringing on Calvin Wetzel, covers women's basketball for Her Hoop Stats and CBS Sports. He joins us on the show now. Calvin, what's up, man? Good to talk to you. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, Judah. Good to be back with you talking sports.
You live for March, man. I know you've got all the screens. You're watching every men's game, every women's game. This is your favorite time of year.
No question. Yeah, I always just post up. You know, everyone who knows me, I think, and you knew me in college, like if you're trying to make plans with me, it'll happen in April.
That's right.
March is for ball.
March is for ball. Do you fill out a bracket on the men's and women's side?
I do. Yeah, I got to fill out a bracket every year. You mentioned CBS Sports. On the women's side, I have my bracket up on CBS if anyone wants to go check it out. But yeah, I definitely fill out both.
Is it still intact?
Definitely not.
I remember...
I have my final four intact for the women's, but
yeah,
I lost Auburn on the men's side.
What do you think of the coverage? I feel like, you know, ESPN's app, they're giving you a chance to fill out both brackets, you know, follow the bracketology on both sides. It just feels like the overall interest is up, but also like the coverage and the access is up this year. And really, you know, over the last few years in the women's game, you're close to it. You're around it daily. Have you noticed that? And what do you make of just the overall appetite and interest in the women's game, especially on the college side? And the amount of, you know, the interest in the brackets being filled out in the women's tournament seems like it's higher than it's ever been.
Yeah, I think the interest in the women's game just across the board, you talk about college, the WNBA, whether it's filling out brackets, betting, watching games, going to games, you name it. It's been skyrocketing the last few years, and you can look at any number and any metric you want in terms of TV viewership, in terms of attendance, in terms of, you know, how many people are filling out brackets. It's all just growing exponentially the last few years, and obviously there's a lot of reasons for that. I know you mentioned Caitlin Clark. We could talk about her being a big driving force, but so many others as well. And really, I mean, this is the fourth straight year now that the entire women's tournament, every game has been on the ESPN networks. So they're all nationally televised in some form, as the men's are obviously on Turner. So it's really getting there in terms of the women's game being kind of a national commodity, and March Madness on the women's side being just so much growing in popularity.
We see this, you know, this surge of attention around Caitlin Clark and kind of, you know, bringing the sport up to another level in terms of national interest. I know you've been covering women's hoops for a long time. Do you think that's all good for the game to have someone of the superstardom of Caitlin Clark? Are there other byproducts to this that we might not recognize on the surface? Or is this just part of kind of the evolution process of what would otherwise be considered a niche sport kind of becoming more mainstream, that you're going to have ebbs and flows of like the discourse and the conversation kind of being disproportionate to just one player over the rest of the other field, which I know you know very well. There's a lot of really good stories to tell.
Yeah, well, you said it. There's so many good stories, and I do think it's a good thing overall, but it's obviously a lot of nuance in the discussion because, like you said, the coverage of Caitlin Clark is disproportionate, and she's getting all of the ratings and attention and stories and things like that. And she's the best player. She's National Player of the Year last year. She's going to be again this year. But there are so many other good teams and good stories. So on one hand, you can talk about, you know, maybe we start need to start covering these other players more. But on the other hand, Caitlin Clark is bringing in so many eyeballs and so many fans to the game that you like to think will stick with the game as fans, even as Caitlin Clark moves on to the WNBA. Hopefully players are, you know, fans are still watching these players in college after Caitlin Clark leaves. And so I do think long-term it's a good thing. It's bringing eyeballs to the women's game. But yeah, you're right. Definitely important to tell all the stories.
We were hoping that they would be shipped out here to Portland in the West region. We were a little bit bummed out here in Portland because, you know, Moda Center gets a couple of these regionals. We were hoping that, like, Caitlin Clark might come out here, or at least South Carolina. Both of them ended out in Albany. Oregon State ends up going to Albany as well. I know USC still has to play tonight in their second round game, but assuming that they win, you know, what do you make of the group of teams that are part of this Portland regional, these two Portland regionals, I should say, in this regional 3 and 4, you know, probably headlined by Juju Watkins and Southern Cal, but also including stars like Cameron Brink and Stanford.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Juju, because when we talk about some of the other stories that we should be telling outside of Caitlin Clark, I think Juju's right at the top of the list. She's honestly would have a case for National Player of the Year if Caitlin Clark didn't exist. What she's done as a freshman, it's been remarkable, second in the country in scoring. She dropped 51 on the road at Stanford.
Crazy.
Just unbelievable performance. And so, you know, if she does win later tonight, enjoy getting to watch her play in Portland. And really, this freshman class, I think, is the story, because you can go up and down. This is the best freshman class easily since Caitlin Clark's freshman class, with Paige Beckers and Cameron Brink and Angel Reese as part of that class. And even outside of Juju Watkins, you have Madison Booker from Texas, who's really been strong, and they punched their ticket to the Sweet 16. So you'll be seeing her out in Portland. Hannah Hidalgo is not in the Portland region, but another one from the freshman class. And up and down the list, there are so many good freshmen, and you're going to be seeing several of them in both of those Portland regionals too. So much star power. I think that's the story in the women's game. It's just a lot of star power really growing the game. And Caitlin Clark is the headliner, but there's so many.
And I'm just realizing this, but we get Gino out here, who just celebrated a birthday. So we get UConn out here too.
Exactly. Just about 5 minutes ago, they punched their ticket to the Sweet 16. So you'll be getting them as well.
On the Albany side of things, what do you make of the Beavers? You know, they're a program with a ton of history and a lot of success under Scott Ruick. You know, kind of tapered off a little bit in COVID, was trying to refine their identity and what made them tick. They were picked to finish 10th in the preseason poll in the Pac-12 this year. And they aren't the 10th best team in the Pac-12. They're going to the Sweet 16 of the NCAA tournament. What have you made of this run by the Beavers, and what's next for them facing Notre Dame?
Well, when you talk about trying to refine themselves, I think this is the year they did that. I think they really are back on the national scene. And like you said, in the Sweet 16, this is a phenomenal group that really doesn't beat themselves. So well coached, and they rebound the ball well. They defend. They've allowed 51 points in their first two games this past weekend. They share the ball. They move the ball really well. And I think they got a great matchup with Notre Dame, because Notre Dame, you know, they have a big three. And then they have Kylie Watson, who is out for the tournament with an injury. And she's not one of those big three. She's more like the fourth or fifth starter. But she is very important in terms of interior defense. And when you look at Oregon State, Reagan Beers, who's kind of been one of the headliners of their season, dominant in the post, averaging almost 18 points a game. And without Kylie Watson, I think that's going to, you know, be a big key matchup to watch for, is how Notre Dame stops her. So I actually, in my bracket, have Oregon State winning this game, going to the Elite Eight, facing South Carolina, which would be a heck of a matchup. But I think Oregon State's the real deal. They've impressed me a lot this season, and I love what they're doing on this run.
It's awesome to see. Great to hear that. Because, and yeah, I might be wrong, but I think Kylie Watson, she was a Duck at one point. At least that's a name that sounds familiar. You know, I think she transferred to Notre Dame from Oregon. But the Beavers to beat Notre Dame, you have that in your bracket. I love that. Can they beat South Carolina if they get there?
Ooh, that's a lot bigger ask. You know, they can. I'm not going to say they can't. South Carolina's had a couple games where they got tested. We saw that it took a miracle three for them to beat Tennessee a couple weeks ago. So it's possible, but you have to play your absolute best game. And the way South Carolina's been playing in the tournament, they just dispatched North Carolina, a team who came within single digits of them earlier this season. And then in the rematch, South Carolina took them apart. So I don't know. I did not pick that one in my bracket. I do have South Carolina coming out of that region in the Final Four. But I think Oregon State, if they're playing their absolute best game, if Tennessee can give South Carolina a run, I think it's certainly a possibility.
Who is your Final Four right now? Would it change, you know, after most of these first two rounds have been played?
I would not change it. I still have, so I have South Carolina. I have UConn, who just, like we said, punched their ticket to the Sweet 16. I have LSU coming out of the other Albany region. And they did look a little bit shaky in those first, really the first three halves of their first two rounds. They pulled away in the second half of that last game. But I do still have them coming out of that region. And then I have Stanford, who also almost got upset in that overtime game against Iowa State in the second round. But I do still have them coming out of that bracket as well. That bracket, I think, is the toughest one to predict. Texas, Gonzaga, I think there's a lot of teams that if I'm going to be wrong somewhere, I think that's the bracket I'm going to be wrong on. But I do have Stanford.
Well, and UConn as a 3 seed, Stanford as a 2 seed, those would be the regional winners coming out of Portland if your bracket comes to fruition, which would be a lot of fun to see. I know you're a big Illinois fan on the men's side. They got a little bit of a test in that opening round game, but boy, did they look dominant against Duquesne. How do you feel about your Fighting Illini right now?
I feel great. You know, the 2005 season, 04-05 for Illinois is really what sort of developed my love for college basketball. I was in seventh grade, and that was the team with Luther Head and D. Brown and Darren Williams that almost went undefeated, lost on a last-second shot in the last regular season game, and then lost in the national championship. And that's the team that developed my love. This team is the first team to make the Sweet 16 for Illinois since that team. Somehow, they've had some good teams. They've had some early exits, and it sounds crazy, but they haven't done it in 19 years. So there's a lot of buzz around here about that, and it's been such a fun team to watch with, just in terms of people who love offense. You got to watch Illinois because they don't always get stops, but they got ways to fill it up with their big three and what they've been able to do. So that's been a really fun story.
It has been a lot of fun to see. I wouldn't have thought that. It's been since that 05 team, since the Sweet 16 for Illinois. That's been quite some time, but it'll be fun to see that matchup with Iowa State. Talking to Calvin Wetzel, covers women's basketball, Her Hoop Stats, and CBS Sports. We'll get you out on this, Calvin. Just the overall direction of the women's game moving forward. Obviously, Caitlin Clark, she says she's going to go to the WNBA draft. You know, here locally, like, we're a great women's basketball market here in Portland. Not only do we have the history of the Ducks and kind of the dynamic, you know, legacy left from Sabrina Ionescu and Ruthie Hebert and Satu Sabali, et cetera. We have Oregon State that have done what they've done under Coach Ruick for a decade plus now. We've got Michael Meek doing stuff with University of Portland, somehow running the table in their conference tournament in Vegas and putting up a pretty good fight with Kansas State over the weekend. Like, there's a lot of good women's hoops played here. And the Caitlin Clark conversation is like, hey, she's elevating the game to a new level. We're also seeing these stories of, South Carolina and LSU getting in a scuffle. This alleged hit piece coming out on Kim Mulkey soon in the Washington Post. Dawn Staley saying this or that, and Gino saying this or that. Like, there's some off-court drama in addition to the on-court product in the women's game right now. Like, where do you kind of see the overall landscape of women's college basketball going from this point forward, especially with a star like Caitlin Clark moving on?
Yeah, I think, you know, the sport is at a point where that off-court drama makes its way into the news cycle outside of the women's basketball community. You talk about SportsCenter, you talk about some of the stuff, even the Kim Mulkey stuff, probably coming into the broader community outside of sports. People who don't even follow sports have probably been reading some about this, and I think that's where women's basketball is at now. And you know, the big sort of litmus test will be when Caitlin Clark moves on. She'll still be in the WNBA and obviously a big part of the women's basketball sort of fandom. But when you look at college specifically, What's that going to look like next year? Who is Juju Watkins going to step up and be the face of college basketball now that she's moving to the Big Ten? Gives her an opportunity for more of that type of national exposure that Caitlin Clark's been getting. You know, what will we continue to see this growth in ratings, this growth in sellouts and in attendance and things like that? And I think we will. I think women's basketball is at that point that it can, even with Caitlin Clark leaving college, that we're really going to continue to see this growth just across the board.
He's Calvin Wetzel, covers women's hoops, CBS Sports, and Her Hoop Stats. He's got UConn and Stanford coming out of their respective Portland regionals in his bracket. They're among the teams coming to Moda Center for the regional actions. And he's also got, who do you have? You have South Carolina and LSU coming out of Albany to make up your Final Four?
Correct. Yep.
And who's on your men's Final Four now? Besides Illinois, of course.
Well, you know, I actually, Illinois might prove me wrong. I had Auburn coming out of that region, and that didn't work out so well. So I hope it's Illinois, but my other three are still intact. I have, Arizona, Houston, and you know what? I'm drawing a blank. Tennessee, I believe, is the other one.
Believing in Rick Barnes in the postseason. Man after my own heart. I'll always be a Rick Barnes believer, but to my own detriment. Calvin, appreciate the time. He's on Twitter at CWetzel31. He's got all your women's hoops coverage, of course, with the regionals coming here to Portland. Thanks for hanging out with us, man. Have a good one.
Hey, appreciate it, Judah.
There he is, Calvin Wetzel, Her Hoop Stats. We'll bounce a break, come back, reset some of the top headlines in the world of sports. Taking you up till 6 o'clock here, Judah Newby and Stephen Vaughn on the Bald-Faced Truth.